Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the preaching of the word in the name of Jesus. The entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And this morning, we humble ourselves. We pray that you'd speak to us. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. Thank you that you lower this bread to a place where each one of us can partake. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Take out your Bible. Who's got their Bible? Maybe your cell phone Bible. Okay, hallelujah. Don't be timid. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Let's say it again. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get into the word. We are what the word says, not what my neighbors say I am. Right. To those who are joining us for the first time, you find us going through this series. I don't know how long this series will take, but we're going to be on it until we get it. Hallelujah. We are going through a series titled The Blessing of Honor. The Blessing of Honor. And today we are doing part 8 of this series, part 8 of The Blessing of Honor. And we are saying there is a blessing attached to honor. When you honor somebody, when you honor God, there is a blessing that comes to life. In other words, there's a commanded blessing. There is a special blessing that comes to you when you live out this principle of honor. Last week, we began talking about honor in the house, honor at home. And I believe a lot of us were blessed. We spoke about honor at home. I'm not going to repeat myself, but it suffices to say, last week we spoke about honor as it relates to children towards their parents. We spoke about honor as it relates to children towards their parents. Now, this morning, I want to expand on that topic around honor at home. And I want to cover one more aspect of honor in the home. I was hoping to cover two of them today, but as I was preparing, I realized, ooh, there's just too much here. So we're going to just cover one, and next week we'll cover the second one. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you regarding honor when it pertains to parents in the home. Hello, somebody. Last week it was exciting. Where is Shadi? Where is she? She was so excited about kids, and we're talking about preteens. And today we are talking about parents in the home. How parents ought to honor their children. So the shoe was on the other side last week, and today is on the other side, right? Now, why is it important for parents to honor their children? We have a problem where you find that a father in the home, instead of being a father, he acts like a little king in that home. Everything has to go, whatever he says goes. Why is it important for parents to honor their children in the home? Psalm 127, verse 3. The Bible says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. How many of us have got children in this place? Let's put up your hands. Majority of us here. Hallelujah. So the context is right. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. So when you have children, the Lord has rewarded you with something special. Glory be to God. He has blessed you with a great gift. I don't know about you, but when you have received a gift from somebody, it's either you love it or you don't. Some of you husbands, some of you mothers or wives, your spouse bought you a tie, but you've never worn it. And every time she looks at that tie in that wardrobe, something goes on in her heart. She wonders, doesn't this dude like this tie? Okay? The same thing happens when God has blessed you with a gift. and you don't place value on it. Children are a gift from the Lord, and therefore we ought to place value on them. We ought to honor them. God gives you something for His glory, and therefore there is a way in which He expects you and I to look after that gift. How are you looking after your children? Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Has not the Lord made them one, having a portion of the Spirit?" And why one? Because He seeks godly offspring. So important. Take note. The reason why God brought you together, in whichever way, is so that you can raise godly offsprings. It's so that you can raise children who know God. It's so that you can raise children who are able to walk out there and they'll glorify God in their lives. So guard yourselves in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. The desire of God is a married couple to stay together in order to ensure that they work together to raise godly offsprings. That's the design of God. That's the desire of God for you and I. Now, God places a responsibility upon mom and dad to look after their children so that they may become godly as they live their lives. I was hoping that you guys would be excited about this topic today. You're sounding very cold. Now, your child is special because that child carries a destiny. The moment a child is conceived, a destiny is on the play. And that is why the Bible says, children are a gift from the Lord. They have a destiny and a responsibility here on earth. And for a season, the Lord loans you these children to you. For a season, the Lord gives you these children in order to fashion them so that they are ready to fulfill their destiny. The Bible says children are like an arrow in the quiver of a warrior. Blessed is he who has many of them. What do you do with an arrow? You put your arrow on the bow and you shoot the arrow. Usually the arrow goes further than the person shooting the arrow. So you as a parent, the Lord is setting you up to push your children further beyond where you are right now. And we need to have that revelation as we raise our children. Children are like an arrow in the quiver of a warrior. Before you shoot an arrow, you look at the health of the arrow. You sharpen the arrow so that whatever it hits well. If the arrow is bent, you straighten it up so that you want it to shoot right through the air without much resistance. That is part and parcel of my role as a father to ensure that when I release my boy, he is straight enough to fit and to hit his target. When I fail as a father, I release an arrow, but an arrow that is bent. An arrow that is likely to miss its target. Children are a gift from the Lord. Now, with that in context, let me remind you of the meaning of honor. To honor is to place value. It is to esteem, to respect, to treat favorably, and to have high regard for somebody. I want you to think about that toddler that is so helpless, that depends on you, that counts on you. I want you to think about that 9-year-old boy that counts on you, that cannot really do much for themselves. They think they can do everything, but there is a lot that they cannot do. That is where you need to place value, esteem, respect. Treat favorably the little one. You see, your child carries a heavenly mandate. You have a responsibility to treat them with honor, with great value. Why? You might be raising a prophet. You might be raising the next Billy Graham. You might be raising the next president of this nation. Somebody asked, how many kings have been born in this village? And the answer was, none. Only children. Come on now, did you get that? How many presidents were born in this village? None, only children. When a child is born, you don't know if this is the Nelson Mandela of our time. That is why we've got to hold them with high esteem. Because you don't know what you're raising. Maybe the next pastor, the next CEO, the next Wade Fenikek. You don't know what you're raising until they've become all that God has called them to be. There is a character in the Bible by the name of Samson. Samson was born during the time of the judges in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel were going through a tumultuous time that was very unstable, and from time to time they would relapse. And the Lord would raise a judge to look after them, to redeem them from the Midianites, the Philistines. And a time came where the children of Israel were under oppression by the Philistines. And the Lord decided, I'm going to raise a judge by the name of Samson. Samson's mother was barren for a long time. But when the time came for Samson to be born, an angel was sent to the mother, and the mother was told, you are going to give birth to a child, and this child will be special from birth. This child will have to be separate because you'll be a Nazarene. The mother fell pregnant. The father Manoah realized, and he knew that this boy and this child is going to be very special. We need to handle with care. And the Bible says he prayed, Judges 13 verse 8. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord. Please, O Lord, let the man of God you sent us come to us again to do what? To teach us how to raise the boy who is to be born. Wow. Manoah was not ready for this job. And he said, I've got no script. I've never done it before. And most of this guy is special. I need to know how to raise him. You are raising a Samson. You are raising a special boy in your life. You are raising a special girl in your life. How can we just do this job without getting a script from the Father in heaven? Manoah prayed, God, please, please, I don't know how to raise him. And the Bible says the Lord had him, and the angel came back and told them how they're going to raise Samson. Wow, there's a lot here this morning. How do we honor our children? How do we honor your children? This is so important. As I minister right now, may the Lord just bring your children in your face right now. May He remind you of instances. How do we honor children? Number one, you honor children by discipling them in the Lord. Come on now, somebody. Does somebody hear me this morning? We honor children by discipling them in the Lord. If we agree that children are from God, the honorable thing to do is to introduce them to their Maker. If we agree that it was not my decision, yes, you are trying. You are trying and trusting God, and you are doing what you can do as a man, but as far as conception is concerned, it's only the Father in heaven who enables it. Glory be to God. Sorry, the light is flickering on the camera. I don't know what's going on there. You honor children by discipling them in the Lord. Listen to me. There's nothing as dishonorable as a parent whose behavior hinders children from knowing God. Ooh, that's an ana. That's an ish. There's nothing as dishonoring as a parent whose behavior hinders children from knowing God. We speak about honor. It goes to that place where you're saying to yourself, I don't want to be a blockage. I don't want to be a hindrance for my children to know their maker. You see, God gave you a child to steward them back to him. And the question is, how well are we doing our job as parents in that regard? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, the Bible says, therefore, you shall lay up these, my words, in your hearts and in your souls, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, so that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19, and you shall teach them to your sons, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. It starts with me. It says, therefore, you as mom, as dad, you shall lay up these words in your heart and in your souls. Why? Because you cannot give what you don't have. If you are full of the word, you will pass on the word to your little ones. If you are full of anger and cantankerous behavior, that's what you pass on to them. So here, Moses was telling them, get the word inside of you so that it becomes easy for you to pass it on to the next generation. Parents, we carry the primary responsibility for discipling our children, not Sunday school. We thank God we have a functional children's ministry. It's not a babysitting service. We disciple our little ones, but that is not the primary area where our children should be taught of the word. That is pep talk. The real deal happens. It is at home where you model prayer. It is at home where you model Bible reading. It is at home where you model the fruit of the Spirit. When they see you being gentle, kind of heart, patient, loving, guess what? It becomes their second nature. Why? They have seen it being lived out at home. You see, when you pray for your child, you are placing honor on that child. You see, you pray for what matters, isn't it? And I want to challenge you as parents, take out a day in the week to pray for your children. Because if you don't, nobody is praying for them. I pray for my children. I have a day in the week that I pray for my young boy, for my young girl. I pray into the future. I pray for their university. I pray for their spouses. I pray that the Lord would preserve them and protect their spouses. And I say, Lord, protect their spouses so that when they meet my girl, he is a full and a complete man, ready to marry my daughter. When you live a prayed for life, when you release your young boy into university, you don't worry. Because the Lord has gone before them. Does somebody hear me this morning? So you place honor and therefore you pray for the little ones. You fast for them. You bind the spirit of teenagehood. There is a spirit attached to that age group. Because the enemy wants them, but God also wants them more. You see, most parents will do anything to ensure that their little ones get the best education. Men will do whatever it costs to ensure that our little ones get the best education. Don't we do that? Why? Because we place value on them. We'll do whatever it takes to support them in their extracurricular activities. As a dad, I want to stand there and watch my boy playing soccer. I want to see my boy playing rugby. I want to see my girl playing netball, playing her violin. I will do whatever it takes. But the question is, do I place the same weight regarding their spirituality? Let's go there, people. Awesome. You spend time with your boy at their festival. Great. But do you spend time with your boy reading the Word of God? Do you tell him that in this house we go to church? You see, as parents, we model a certain lifestyle. So your child is observing everything that you do. And he has realized that when there's pressure around my mom, she doesn't go to church. When my mom is very busy and when she's unhappy, she doesn't go to church. By default, you are sending a message. You are saying to her, you don't need God when there's pressure in your life. You serve God when it is convenient. Come on now. That's dishonoring. Remember, you're raising a destiny. Are you going to shoot an arrow that is broken? Or are you going to shoot an arrow that is sharp, that is straight, that is determined? When you rise up in the morning, my kids hear me when I walk through the corridor going for prayer. They know Pa is up and is praying. They can only learn certain things by seeing them being modeled. So if you are so stuck up with your child around their extracurriculum, you better be stuck up with their spirituality, because their extracurriculum will take them where their character might not sustain them. Does somebody hear me this morning? You want to release your young man, your young girl, who is full of the Spirit of Jesus, that when they go for ballet concert, nothing will move them, because they know who they are. Wow, I'm preaching good. So, as parents, let's get to that place where we are saying, I want to raise a balanced child. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Does the Lord bring an angel, Gabriel, to teach them? No, he brings mama angel and teach them. Glory be to God. That's what God does. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And parents, we've got to fight this battle. We've got to be so stubborn about it. And say, as for my children, none of these ones who came out of my womb will be lost. None of them. And I'll do what I have to do. John Wesley and his brother were a product of a mother's prayer. The Methodist Church was birthed because John Wesley was raised by a God-fearing mama. John Wesley's mom would put up her apron like this, and she would pray so that she's out of the disturbances around the kitchen. She would travail and cry out for her boys. And today the Methodist Church is all over the world. It was birthed in a kitchen by a mama who said, not my boys. Not my boys. I know you love your kids. You buy them PS6. You buy them all of these games. It's awesome. But buy them Bibles as well. Come on now. Invest in a good Bible. This Bible will cost 1,000 rand. Xbox One cost you 7K. And that's what we do. We buy these things for our kids. I'm serious. I bought my kid last year an Xbox One and he loves it. But I also gave him a Bible. I'm like, boy, you're going to have a Bible and you're going to read it. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Where is this shalom coming from? Because they are taught of the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mama, you have done well. You taught your child when they are young. They might go astray along the way, but they will come back to the Lord. I declare it over your life in the name of Jesus. You might feel like you have lost them, but what you deposited in their hearts, it was not lost. They will come back. They'll keep on hearing the voice of the Lord. The Lord will not let them go because they were taught of the Lord when they were 8. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The flip side is also true. If you train up your child to be lazy when it comes to things of the Lord, they will have problems in their lives. That is why Moses said to them, lay this word in your heart so that you are able to pass on the word to your people, to your kids. Discipleship is so key in the family. Mom and dad, you carry the primary responsibility. What we do at church is to assist you, is to help you. We do youth meetings there. That's not the all of it. We're just assisting you along the way. But if you cannot even bring your child to a youth meeting, we have a bigger problem. I'm speaking as a father now, saints. I love you to bits. And that is why I'm saying these things. If we have a youth meeting here and you don't bring your child, why? Because your child is tired, your child has got no time. Saints, you are risking their future. And for what? Train up a child in the way that they should grow. I can tell you there's a grace over this church for youth. When you give us your children, we'll give them back to you in a better state. In Jesus' name. I'm talking about what I know, what I've experienced with other young people. And I want to encourage you, partner with us in this process. Number two, how do you honor children? You honor children by disciplining them. Discipline, discipline, discipline. You see, when God corrects you, because God does correct us, there are many people who think God doesn't chastise. Hey, what type of God are you talking about? The God that I've come to know will correct. The God we know will correct. And he is doing it to show you that he loves you and does not want you to go astray. In other words, the Lord honors his children that way. He honors me so much that he does not want me to get lost. So he corrects me. He chastises me. And when it is coming from the Lord, I know it's coming from the loving God. Hallelujah. He prunes me. He cuts off what needs to be cut off so that I can become more fruitful. Glory be to God. How much more you and I regarding our little ones? Our modern parents have listened to the enemy regarding correcting children. Instead of correcting children, we bribe our children to do the right thing. We use chocolate. We use watching TV. We bribe our kids so that they can do the right thing. Now, saints, you show honor to your children by disciplining them, by correcting them. Now, research has shown that almost 90% of child addicts who are addicted to drugs, when they were questioned as to what they would have wanted their parents to do, 90% said, I wished my parents had said no more often. Whoa. Here is a child, 18 years, hooked. And he's asked, what would you have wished your parents to do, to have done? They would say, I wished my parents would have said no more often and to follow through their no. Discipline is so key. Proverbs 29 verse 17, the Bible says, correct your son and watch this, and he will give you comfort. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. So I was there with my daughter. She was receiving an academic award on Friday. So the Thursday night, she said to me, Daddy, I want to hear you shouting when I'm getting my award. She said, you must say, you are prouding me. I'm like, I'm not going to say that. She's like, Daddy, please say that. I was prouding, you know, when I was there. This is the issue. He will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul when you have corrected him. When you don't correct them, they will give you discomfort. They will give you grief in your soul. You start casting demons where there are no demons. Ooh, I bind this, I bind this. No, you did not teach the child. You didn't correct the child. Does somebody hear me this morning? Correct your son, and he will give you comfort. And you bring delight in your soul. Glory be to God. Put this down. Children thrive in an environment that has rules and discipline. You think, you say, like, they used to beat me up when I was young. For me, I don't do that with my kids. I'm a very nice parent. You're overcompensating. And I'm saying to you, children are looking for structure. They need to know that this is bedtime. You wake up at this time. You know, when our kids were young, 7 o'clock without failure, they're in bed. They were in bed 7 p.m. We used to have a cell group in our house. Hiron, you'd know. Sometimes they would walk through the house and they'd ask, where are the kids? They're in bed. 7 o'clock, they are gone. There was a structure. And so the two kids grew up knowing that 7 o'clock is bedtime. They cried at the beginning, but we trained them until they got it right. So when we would travel and they miss their 7 o'clock routine, they become grumpy. I want you to know your kids will thrive when there is structure and when there are disciplines. So I visit certain people, not you. 10 o'clock, the kid is running on top of the coffee table. I'm like, huh? Mom and dad, when are you going to make up? Because this kid is really causing chaos in this house. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The reason why some things die is because your kids are undisciplined. They're just up and down, knocking on your door. And again, we tell people, at a certain age, get the kids out of your bed. Why should a 3-year-old sleep in between mom and dad? Never. Doesn't work like that. Discipline. Does somebody hear me this morning? People, you know, the kids will know. You see, do you know why they thrive when there's structure and discipline? They know their safe zone. They know that as long as I operate in this area, I am safe. Because mama told me, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. They know their boundaries, and it's a place of security for them, and they thrive. Discipline is so key. There are different ways of disciplining your children. You can withhold certain privileges, like no more Xbox, Andrew, for the coming 3 weeks. And he loves his Xbox, and therefore we cut it out. Okay? No more play dates for the coming month because of this. Okay? Your bedtime has been pushed early. You are in bed 7 o'clock now, though you are 9. The guy will feel the pain because you are taking some privileges away, and he understands that for every action there's a consequence. Hello, somebody. Oh. If necessary, use a stick. All right? I know somebody's going to fight me over this. But I grew with a stick on my backside and I did not die. I'm not advocating for abuse. Please don't abuse your kids. Okay? When we have conversations with couples, we tell them, you don't use your hand to discipline your child. No. Your hand is there to extend a blessing. It's not to beat a child. You don't use a hand. Don't do that. The Bible is very clear. Spare the rod and spoil the child. The ultimate goal of discipline is to correct, it is to guide, to ensure that your child understands discipline. We are raising rowdy kids. Why? Because we've pulled back. You were abused when you were young, and you made an internal vow that not with me. I'm not going to do that with my kids. And in the process, we lose them. Proverbs 13, verse 24. The Bible says, he who withholds his rod hates his son. Truth be told, I don't know when last I used the rod on my kids. My daughter is 13, my son is 9. I don't know when last I used the rod. It was like one of those extreme moments. Extreme moments. Okay, but the Bible says, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. You don't hold back. You see, fathers, the Bible warns fathers to be patient and tender with their children. The anger, the impatience of dads has been a source of a lot of rebellious behavior from kids. Dads, I know there are few of us here, but let me speak to your souls. We have to be careful with our impatience. We have to be careful with our anger. We have to be careful with the words we use over our children. The Bible talks about us fathers. You see, it says in Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not exasperate your children so they will not lose heart. You know those fathers, a child comes with a report card that is 70%. He doesn't say, well done, my boy. He says, what happened to the other 30%? Come on, dude. The guy is close to a distinction. How about celebrating? Celebrate with a young girl, and then we can talk about what needs to be spoken about if there is a need for that. So the Bible says, be careful, fathers, not to tire your children by our constant demands. Fathers should not always find fault with their kids. Let's try and catch our kids doing the right thing. That must be our default. It results in them being discouraged. You see, when you are never satisfied, when you always complain about their imperfections, you will end up breaking their spirit. It's dishonoring as a dad. And some of you here are broken because you were raised by a tyranny. You were raised by a soldier, by Major General. When Major General drives through the gate, everybody else runs to their bedroom. Why? The guy has arrived. What's wrong with you, Dad? Come on. They hear the gate going, zee, 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 like, yo, gone. This thing must change with this generation in the name of Jesus. I love it when I come back home. When I walk through that door, my kids run. They say, hello, daddy. My boy comes and he hugs me. He's not afraid of me. He says, I'm his friend. But he also knows that his friend can beat. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It doesn't say you, mothers. Okay. It says you, fathers. We are the culprits, boys. We have to change. Something has to give. You, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is so key. Let's go to the last one. So we say we honor our children by discipling them in the Lord. We honor our children by disciplining them. And fourthly, we honor our children by communicating wholeness to them. Wholeness. Remember, I spoke of the analogy of the arrow. How whole is that arrow that you're about to shoot? How whole is it? Parents have the primary role of communicating wholeness and completeness to their children. And let me say this morning, many children leave the nest, the home, incomplete and broken. And by so doing, they're looking for something to complete them. They're looking for somebody to complete them. You see, the reason why some of our daughters go off the rail when they are teenagers is because they're looking for something to complete them. So my daughter turned 13 in July, and I said to my wife, I'm going to buy her a bunch of red roses. And I say to her, my girl, here are your first red roses from your dad. Any other boy that comes with red roses, there's nothing special about them. Do you get what I'm saying? I had to break that myth for a heart to beat too fast when a boy comes and says, be my Valentine. She'll be able to look at him in his face and like, I actually got healthier roses from my dad. Do you feel me today? I did that and I broke that thing. So children, some of them leave homes and they're broken. And they're looking for completeness. They're looking for wholeness. And they scrounge in the wrong places. And they've got these boys who are charming and coming and speaking words over them. Words that they've never heard from their own dad. And all of a sudden your girl opens up to wrong people. Why? Because you as a dad hasn't told you how much you love her. See, God the Father epitomizes the highest dimension of parenting. And when we observe the way the Father related with Jesus the Son, we get to know how we should relate with our kids. Let me just give you a couple of things. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. This is the moment where Jesus was baptized and was coming out of the water. And as he was coming out of water, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice was heard. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Oh, glory to God. Parents, how do you communicate wholeness to your children? Number one, you give your child his or her identity. That's how you communicate wholeness. You give your child his or her identity. You speak into the identity of the child. That is honoring, saints. God the Father spoke out loud about the identity of Jesus. He didn't say, this is Jesus. He said, this is my Son. Your child wants to hear it from you that you are his dad. He is your son. And God spoke and says, this is my son. Don't forget it, my boy. You are mine. You belong. You are mine. There is a place in me that only you can occupy. And your child needs to hear that from you. Parents give identity to their children. It's about affirming them in who they are. Without any doubt, your child must know that I belong. I am loved. You see, we can say a lot of things. Sometimes we keep on saying, oh, kids are expensive. Oh, kids are just difficult. The moment your child hears that over and over and over, they'll start thinking, I am unwanted. I'm a burden to these people. Look here, when you speak of identity, it's about who am I? Identity is about where and how do I belong? What influence do I have in my world? How do you give your child identity when they are attempting to do a project? You affirm them, you help them, you pay attention to what they're doing. Why? Because they matter. So, so important. The more you call them in that manner, the more they embrace their identity. Articulate who they are. Call them names. Pay attention to what they're attempting to do. Call them my champion, my princess, my beauty, my macho man. They then identify with their masculinity if they're a boy. If they're a girl, they know they're a princess. They should be treated with tenderness and care. And therefore, when somebody comes and is rowdy and she will not even look at the guy. Because she knows who she is. Glory be to God. So, so important. Encourage your child to make her own choices. Within bounds, of course. Why do you have to choose the pink cup for her? No. Put the cups there and say, pick what you want. Why do you always answer for her? So what have you been doing in school? They're asking. And you as mother. Oh yeah, this day she's playing netball. No, no, no. Allow your child to speak for themselves. I'm talking about identity. Do you hear me this morning? Wow. Many children grow up with identity crisis. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're good at. My boy loves soccer. And I can see in him he's going to be a great striker. So now he said, but Dad, I want to be a goalkeeper. I'm like, no, no, that's not you. The way you do things, Andrew, you are a striker, not a goalkeeper. What am I doing? I'm speaking into the treasure within him. So, so important. So we speak wholeness to our children by speaking identity in their lives. So the father said, this is my son. This is my son. Number two, you speak wholeness to your children by giving your child emotional security. Emotional security. This is giving your child a sense of stability emotionally. And you can see it if you are a mother, if you are a father, if you go to schools, you'll be able to see children who are coming from stable homes because of the way they behave, the way they carry themselves. You are able to see there's instability here or there is stability there. And I want to ask you a question. Are you creating a home where there's emotional stability? Where your children don't sit on the edge all the time because they don't know mommy's going to lose it anytime. They're not sure how you're going to behave. They're not sure if they ask you for a new pair of shoes, you're going to give it to them. See, this emotional stability comes about by a loving environment. An environment that is saturated by love. Unconditional love. You see, emotional secure children are less anxious. They feel free to express themselves. I only know about my kids, but my kids are very opinionated. They've grown to know they own their voice and they speak. They're very respectful, but they're not sheepish. No, those of you who have spoken to Andrew, you know. Now, God the Father expressed unconditional love for his boy, if I can say it that way, for his son. So he says, this is my son whom I love. Give me that scripture. This is my son whom I love. It is so important for us to express unconditional love towards our children. Your child does not have to earn your love. They might not be as great at sports. They might not be as great academically. They might not be the neatest person in the world. That should not be issues that should qualify or disqualify them from your love. When the father spoke to Jesus, he said, this is my son whom I love. It was before Jesus had performed any miracle. You see, when we love our children unconditional, they are able to perform at a higher level because there is no pressure that comes with expectation. So, so important. God expressed unconditional love for his son. He loved him before any miracles had been performed in his life. Emotional security. So, so important. You see, the home must be a place of peace. Your child must look forward to go home from school. There are kids who don't want to go home. They would rather be in aftercare and play soccer with kids until the last moment. You must create a home that is warm, a home that is welcoming, a home where your child feels this is a spacious and secure place for me. And they will thrive. Remember, we're talking about honor. That's how you place honor on kids. Next week, I'll be talking about honor between mom and dad. You see, one way of honoring your children is to love their mama. Love their mom. Love their dad. That way you're honoring your children. When you scream and shout at your spouse in front of your kids, it's dishonoring to the kids. There are certain vows that your kids will make based on what you do between yourselves. There are some kids who say, I'll never get married because what I see here, I don't want it in my life. And there are some kids who say, I can't wait. I want to get married because marriage is awesome. I see what mom and daddy does. They love it. Why? They have seen something being modeled. Oh, I've got so much to say here, but my time is eluding me. Can I just do one more point? Praise the Lord. Affirm your child. This is number three. This is how you communicate wholeness in your child's life. You affirm your child. You affirm your child by the words you say over their lives. So listen, an environment charged with affirmation is ripe with possibilities. Your child can become anything. Your child can dream. Why? Because they've been told, you can do it. You can do it. Matthew 17, verse 5, on the mountain of transfiguration, just look at the Father God said about his son. He says here, while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. I am well pleased with you, Andrew. So this morning we're having a chat with my son. So he walks into our bedroom. I say to him, my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he says, my dad in whom I'm well pleased. Where is he getting that from? From me. I've always called him that. I say, my son in whom I'm well pleased. Or I say, my people who are called by my name. Referring to my family. They are called by my name. So I walk in the kitchen and say, my people who are called by my name. It has become second nature to them. They know they are called by my name. What am I doing? I'm speaking into their treasure. Your child wants to hear it from you, that he is the best, that he can do it. Whatever he puts his mind to do, he can do it. You see, affirmations speak into the treasure within and it draws out that treasure. When your child grows up hearing that, I'm not talking about flattery, I'm talking about speaking into the treasure from a meaningful space. Your child starts believing in themselves and what they can become. Children who grew up with present parents tend to do well in life. And I want to say to you parents, be present for your children, physically and emotionally. Because sometimes you pick your child from school. You don't even find out how his day was. You are on your phone. You are holding this kid with a bag. Have you seen it? Parents walking on the car park. And she's busy scrolling on the phone and holding the kid in their hand. You haven't even paid attention. Be present physically. Be present emotionally. You cannot speak wholeness from afar. No. It cannot be done by remote control. You have to be close. I read this on somebody's LinkedIn profile. Because it was on LinkedIn, it's on public consumption. I thought it was quite interesting. This lady says, the knowledge of my father abandoning me at 9 months brought with it the belief that I wasn't worth loving if even my own father could not stay to raise me. Oh my goodness. This is a career person carrying the wounds of abandonment and wondering, am I worth loving? And you wonder why somebody is not getting married, because any guy who comes, he thinks, I'm not lovable. My dad left me when I was 9 months. Parents, we have a responsibility. Whatever it will take, as long as it's in your power, stick around for your kids. Don't let another dude raise your kids. Come on. Don't let another woman raise your kids unless natural disasters have happened. But if it's in your power, be present for your children. Our mothers grew up fighting for us and said, I will not leave. Even if it is just for these kids, I'll stay. Today, a little thing happens in marriage, people are out. Just saying. Those of you who are stuck around me, you know I'm very passionate about marriage. I love marriages. So this person has to deal with a sense of rejection. It's difficult. So being present means that you can model how life ought to be lived. Don't let another person do that for you. Let me read the last scripture and then we call it a day. John 5 verse 19. The Lord Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Wow. Come, let's clap our hands for Jesus. Man, that is parenting 101. The Son does nothing except what he sees his Father do. It means that I have a responsibility. My boy is watching from the far. And like, I want to be like him. The way he talks, the way he treats mama, I want to treat my wife as well. So Jesus says, the Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father doing it. The Father has to be present for the Son to see. Your physical father might not be present. God will bring father figures around you that will enable you to model what fathers should do. So fathers, we have a responsibility. Mothers, we have a responsibility to model something. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does. It replicates. It repeats itself.